am Jeff Garcia, and this is Locked On Spurs. Welcome back to Locked On Spurs on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your San Antonio Spurs are red hot. They are the best team in the NBA right now. Winners of 9 straight, the longest winning streak in the NBA right now and probably this season. The Spurs are seemingly unstoppable. Recently, they just beat the defending NBA champs in their own home, 111-105, over the Golden State Warriors. So what does this mean? What does this last win over Golden State tell us about the Spurs as the stretch run of the NBA playoffs is in our midst right now? Also on the show, we're going to be talking about what is next for the San Antonio Spurs in the few remaining games on their regular season schedule. Is there something else the Spurs can do to solidify themselves as a legit threat to the NBA crown this season? To do that and more, I'm joined by Joe Garcia of Two Shots Podcast. Joe, welcome back to Locked On Spurs, and you just got to be ecstatic right now knowing the Spurs won 9 straight and beat the defending champs.
Oh, yeah, I'm ecstatic. I mean, I couldn't be more happy because this team looked dead in the water during the rodeo road trip, only winning 1 game. And now that they've had this miraculous turnaround, nobody could have predicted that the Spurs would be on a 9-game winning streak, beating some of the better teams in the NBA.
Yeah, well, speaking of beating some of the better teams in the NBA, you know, they've beaten the Bucks, they've beaten the Thunder, and now they beat the Warriors. Even to beat a surging Pistons to start the winning streak, and they're doing it. They're winning. They are just winning. They're clicking on all cylinders, and that proved that and more versus the Warriors. Now, the Spurs, heading into that game, were underdogs. Vegas did not have the Spurs winning, but yet they did. When you look back at that win over Golden State, Joe, what is one thing that stands out for you?
Defense. Spurs played defense for a full 48 minutes. And not only that, but, man, Jeff, can you imagine that this Spurs team is one of the better free throw shooting teams in the NBA?
No, I mean, I can believe
just
it.
Going back to last night, looking at what was the difference in this game, and it was free throws. The Spurs knocked down 19 of their 22 free throw attempts, and their shooting percentage from the field goal, or from the stripe, should I say, is 86% for the night. That's amazing. You know, they outshot Golden State from the stripe. Golden State had knocked down 10 of 12 free throw attempts, and they shot 83%. So the Spurs are on a tear, man.
Yeah, I mean, you look at what they did versus Golden State. First of all, they capitalized on Golden State turnovers for the game. The Warriors had 13. The Spurs scored 14 points off those 13 mistakes by Golden State. So that tells me the Spurs are really taking advantage of gifts, basically. You know, the Warriors just gave them 14 points right off the bat. But you dig deeper, Joe, and I liked how they came out. They came out with some fire. Yeah, maybe it was 25-25 after the first quarter, thanks in large part to a 60-foot shot made by Steph Curry. But they weathered the storm. You knew it was coming, Joe. You knew at some point, because it always happens, that Golden State Warriors onslaught where they could just turn a 15-20-point lead into a plus and take the lead. That almost happened, but the Spurs stuck in it. Popovich said that the Spurs did not cave in when that Warriors run was coming. Joe, talk about the fortitude, the mental toughness that the Spurs team showed versus the Warriors to weather that storm.
Yeah, lately with this win streak that the Spurs have been on, they've been playing with a lot of heart, and they've been really grinding these games out. They've been playing with a lot of, let's say, emotion. You know, and one of the things that I've noticed is that they've been a lot more aggressive on the defensive end, which is a tribute to the team communicating better on the court. Even in yesterday's game, you saw the guys actually talking with each other, pointing at spots on the floor where they needed to go, calling out things to each other during the game, which we didn't see that happen before. So right now, this team is gelling together, and I think communication has played a pivotal role in what they're able to do on the defensive end. And even in yesterday's game against the Golden State Warriors, you like that they were very aggressive, because you have to play the Golden State Warriors aggressively on the defensive end to give yourself a chance, because the Golden State Warriors are more than just a three-point shooting team. They do a lot of other things that I think fans don't give them credit for. And I think the Spurs did a really good job of disrupting that.
Yeah, they did that. And then some. You look at that third quarter, that's usually when the Warriors come out all cylinders firing. And that happened. They outscored the Spurs in the third, 31-24, but yet the Spurs maintained and weathered that storm. And I think that's what really stood out for me, is because Warriors, they'll come at you. You can have a 15-point lead, a 20-point lead over them, and they'll manage a way to come back. And they did that. They retook the lead. They were up as many as 3 points, but the Spurs came out in that fourth quarter, beating them 29-27, and their largest margin of a win or a lead was 14 points over Golden State. So that's really good. And that just shows me that, look, this is a Warriors team that many look at as, okay, well, they're going to win the title. We might as well give them the Larry O'Brien trophy right now. But they look vulnerable. This is a team, Warriors, that look like, hey, if you pounce on them quick and make them work, you have a shot, and the Spurs did that. You fast forward to the end of the game, Joe, and look what Klay Thompson said. He said that the Spurs defense had nothing to do with it. It was simply Golden State missing shots. Joe, Klay Thompson himself did not have a great game at all versus the Spurs. He finished, what, 5 of 18 from the field? At one point, he was 0 of 8. I think he is not giving credit where credit is due, Joe.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you completely. But, you know, I like to get back to talking about Klay Thompson real quick. I mean, he was just kind of arrogant, kind of being an ass, if you could say, after the game, because he didn't give the credit to the Spurs defense in any way. He said, oh, that's more, you know, that was on us. We just weren't knocking down their shots. Everyone that watched that game watched how the Spurs were able to disrupt exactly what Golden State wanted to run on the court. You know, it got so bad at one point that I remember even seeing they had a meme put out on Spurs Twitter of Stephen Curry talking to the refs saying, don't you guys know you're supposed to be on our side? Which was kind of comical, you know, because Golden State always gets these calls, but attribute, you know, the Spurs for playing really hard-nosed defense and really staying after it the whole 48 minutes with these guys. Because as we had both been talking about, we knew Golden State was going to make a run. The Spurs weathered the storm. But what you really like out of this team right now is the ability to get stops when it's needed the most. Mm-hmm. And that's really what's really helped this team continue this. Now it's up to a 9-game win streak, because they weren't able to do that before. And me and you had discussions about that. They're like, why can't they get these pivotal stops when they need them the most? And, you know, we knew that they were going to be defensively challenged, but now they've been coming together and they've been playing a lot better. And like I said, it's all a tribute to getting these stops at key moments of the game that's really turned the tide for the Spurs.
As many of the players have been saying following games during this 9-game winning streak, they attribute this to consistency, that they're playing consistent on both ends of the court. Specifically, defensively, there was a moment in the game, I think it was in the second half, where Curry looked like he had a wide open look at the basket. Yet there came Derek White and Rudy Gay just swarming him and blocking his shot. Derek White goes flying out the game out of bounds. Curry just sitting there stunned, like that just happened. The Spurs swarmed them defensively. Look, when you hold the Warriors, the Golden State Warriors, to 105 points for the game, Spurs did something right on the defensive end. Klay Thompson needs to really check himself before he talks again. Should the Spurs and Warriors meet and the Spurs beat them, maybe in the postseason, we don't know. But, Joe, let's talk about the Spurs' biggest weapons, Aldridge and DeRozan. Those guys really showed out for the Spurs when they needed them the most against the defending NBA champs. You have DeRozan finishing with a game-high 26 points. LaMarcus Aldridge finishes with a double-double, 23 points, and 13 rebounds to go along with 3 assists and 2 block shots. And not to discount what DeMar DeRozan did outside of his scoring, but he also had 9 rebounds and 8 assists and 1 steal on the night. Spurs fans, Joe, everybody listening to right now, these two guys have been doing a lot of heavy lifting for the Spurs, and as much as maybe we want to shine light on Derek White, and he deserves it, these two guys have really been the rock during the Spurs' 9-game winning streak, and especially versus the Golden State Warriors, Joe.
Yeah, they have been. But one thing that that sticks out at me and continues to worry me, Jeff, I got to be honest with you, is the minutes played. DeMar DeRozan played 38 minutes in yesterday's game against the Warriors. Uh-huh. LaMarcus Aldridge once again played heavy minutes at 35 minutes. He played 35 minutes, 7 seconds. What really worries me is at some juncture, Coach Pop is going to have to learn to manage the minutes, because we don't want these guys being worn out and injured for the postseason. But it's a strange enigma, because if you kind of dial back their minutes, then that gives the opposing team an opportunity to steal a win away from us, or, you know, possibly blow us out of the water. So I know it's a delicate situation, but at the same time, I think Coach Pop is going to have to kind of revisit that, because if you look down the rest of the minutes that everybody was playing yesterday, the third person who played the most minutes was Derek White at 27. So right there, you know, it's like you're starting five. They're averaging somewhere in the neighborhood of about 25, 24 minutes a game. And that just shows that right now the Spurs need these starters playing heavy minutes and at a high level for extended stretches of the game in order for the Spurs to continue this win streak. And that kind of worries me, Jeff, only because I said at some juncture you hope that nobody gets injured.
Well, look, maybe heavy minutes were an issue for DeMar DeRozan to start his Spurs career. Yeah. We saw him go through a slump recently, and now he's coming out of it. But I think in the point that the Spurs are in right now, battling for playoff positioning, trying to climb up the standings, I think Popovich is going to run these guys. And look, DeMar DeRozan had some time off. There was a couple of load management games for him. Same thing for LaMarcus Aldridge. But right now, it's their time to shine. They got to keep going. Just because they won 9 games straight does not mean they're out of the woods yet. You got Utah right behind them. The Clippers right behind them. They're jockeying for position, too. And I agree with you, Joe, but I also agree with LaMarcus Aldridge, what he had to say after the game when he was asked about, you know, okay, well, you know, this team is on a 9-game winning streak. What's going on? And I think he said it best when he goes that it's just simply winning time. And he needs to be on that winning time right now. He goes, it's just winning time, and everybody senses that, which is why everyone is trying to play better and figure it out, end quote. Joe, this is it right here. This is the stretch run of the postseason. It's winning time, as LMA said. And I think Popovich has got to roll with him and DeMar DeRozan if the Spurs want a chance to climb up the standings in the West. But good thing for them, as you mentioned, is they have Derek White playing at a very high level right now. He did it again versus the Warriors. Another solid performance out of D. White, 27 minutes, 12 points. He had 4 assists, and he had a couple of rebounds, so kudos to him. But, Joe, you look at that win over the Golden State Warriors, other guys chipped in. Again, balanced scoring. You have Patty Mills with 10 points off the bench. You have Marco Bellinelli, who had a key 4-point play with 9 points. Then you have Rudy Gay, who I think was an unsung hero in the win over Golden State. He finishes with 17 points, 3 assists, and a good amount of rebounds. I believe he finished with, 6. So they have balanced scoring right now, Joe. And I think with Rudy Gay now coming off that bench, that's got to do wonders for the Spurs moving forward, Joe.
Yeah, it's got to do, you know, wonders for the Spurs moving forward. Anytime Rudy Gay plays at a high level, you know, it always gives the Spurs that extra punch, that extra offensive punch. But also, you know, you want to see LaMarcus Aldridge getting in rhythm early, you know, and he always attributes to him needing his touches. And what he means by that, and I kind of understand exactly what he's saying, and I see it clearly, and I think a lot of Spurs fans are starting to see it as well. The offense seems to move a lot more smoothly when it goes to LaMarcus Aldridge first. If he gets his touches, gets in rhythm early, it kind of opens the game up for everybody else, because he warrants so much attention. You know, whether he's a posting up, he's maybe stepping out 10 to 12 feet, maybe 15 feet, doing a turnaround jump shot. It kind of keeps the defense for the opposing team on their toes. And really, they're going to have to give LaMarcus different looks. So they're going to double team him. They're going to triple team him. And when they do things like that, somebody's open. And we've seen the resurgence of the Spurs and their three-point shooting. You know, they're not dropping 40 three-pointers or trying to shoot 40 three-pointers a game, but they're very efficient at the looks that they do get from beyond the arc. And I'd like to see that trend continue. But more importantly, Jeff, the Spurs have 11 games left on the season. Six of these games are going to be on the road. So right now, I believe they're at 42 wins. I had picked them to win 47 wins, but we still don't know with the tightly contested Western Conference, is 47 wins good enough to get them maybe the fifth, maybe the fourth seed? Right. I would like to see them maybe push that up to maybe 50 wins to give them a better shot to get higher up in the seeding. So it's going to be an interesting finish to the season, but these six road games that are left, there's some tough ones out there, and there's some should be gimmies, but I never want to say that they're going to be 100% winnable, because we've seen what happens with the team on the road. But I'm very confident that this team has turned a corner, and I'm confident that they're going to be able to get maybe four of these six wins that they have left as far as going on the road.
Well, I hope you're right, because the Spurs are looking like juggernauts right now. The NBA should be on notice. I think the rest of the Western Conference playoff field is definitely on notice. The Spurs are taking down some of the top teams in the NBA in these last nine games. Hopefully that will continue. But Joe and I are going to take our first break. But we get back, we're going to be talking about what the Spurs still need to do to prove that they're legit. So before we talk about that topic, did you know you can fill out a tourney bracket at DraftKings this year? That's right. DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, has a totally free bracket with tens of thousands of dollars up for grabs. Everyone fills out a bracket during the tourney. Might as well do it on an award-winning app with tons of free prizes. So what's up? What are you going to get with this if you're going to do your March Madness tournament bracket? Well, for the first time ever, DraftKings is offering a bracket battle promotion with $64,000 in prizes. That's a lot of money. I think you should be going at the app right now. Okay, so you know how brackets work. Before tip-off of the first game of the tournament, just pick the winner of every game, every round. That's all there is to it. And the best part is you can play for free. So, well, here's what you need to do. You can be part of this. You can play for free with the code DRIBBLE, D-R-I-B-B-L-E. Simple as that. Just download the app and enter code DRIBBLE. You could even set up a private group for you and your friends and compete for bragging rights. So here's what you have to do. You got to download the DraftKings app or head to DraftKings.com right now. Use code DRIBBLE to enter the bracket battle promotion for free and compete with your share of $64,000. That's code DRIBBLE to enter the bracket battle for free, only at DraftKings. The game inside the game. There's going to be eligibility restrictions. They apply, but you got to go to DraftKings.com for the details. So why not go try your hand at winning thousands of dollars in prizes at DraftKings.com or download the DraftKings app. Joe and I are back. And Joe, the Spurs, they're climbing up that standing. They're on a 9-game winning streak. Spurs fans should be feeling good, and rightfully so. But Joe, in this last segment of Locked On Spurs, I'm going to say I still need one more thing to happen before we could put a seal of approval on this Spurs team and the way they're closing out the season. I need a solid win on the road. They got two biggies coming up at Houston, at Denver. If the Spurs can go into their houses and beat them on the road, a place where they struggled this season, Joe, I think we can put a check mark on the Spurs as they head into the postseason.
And now, let's not forget the Celtics. They got the Celtics on the road as well.
That is true. Celtics have been iffy, though. As much as they were pretty much applauded heading into the season, they've really been up and down. But I'm looking at that Houston and at Denver game. If they hit both, obviously I'll be over the moon. They get one of two, I'll take it. But if they lose those two, Joe, I think we'll look back at this 9-game winning streak and it'll come back. It'll be, well, they were at home. Well, they played two road games against a depleted Atlanta team, doesn't count, and a Mavericks team that didn't have 100% Luka. It's going to come. And then they're going to say, well, you know, the naysayers will say, well, you're playing at home. That's where the home cooking was. But if they can go on the road show to close out the season and get two big wins at Houston, at Denver, I think we could put a big stamp of approval on this. Am I right or am I wrong, Joe?
No, I know what you're saying, you know, and I'm thinking that I'm right there with you. You know, the Spurs still need to show that they can win on the road against some of these better teams. I mean, it's easy to win, and not easy, should I say, but it's easier for the Spurs to win against the better teams in the NBA when they're at home. For whatever reason, they play a lot better. Now, you want to see them drag that mental toughness, you know, and that defensive prowess that they've shown over the last couple of games on the road. And I think this Houston game is going to be a big test for them. If they can pull out this win in Houston, I'm going to just say they've got my seal of approval. With you, you're a little bit tougher. I think you need them to have one more road win against, like you said, the Denver Nuggets before you give them your seal of approval. But if they can beat the Rockets, they already got my seal.
Well, I'm not saying it has to be against Denver. I'm just saying they got to get one of those two. But in my opinion, they can get both of them. I think that's just gravy. But if they go into Houston and beat Houston in their turf, I mean, this team is primed and ready to go. I'm not trying to be that proverbial rainer on the parade. I'm not trying to rain on the parade right now. I'm not. I like what the Spurs are doing. They're giving you, me, the rest of the Spurs fan base a reason to celebrate. But there is that cloud. There is that ghost, that big elephant in the room. Can they do this, and this being big wins over big teams, away from the AT&T Center? And this season, they haven't really done that. They really haven't done that. When you go on the road to MSG and you get stomped by the Knicks, that's not a good sign. When you barely win against a Memphis Grizzlies team by 1 point, you know, that's not a good sign.
Or the Nets. You lost to the Nets, too.
Yeah, the Nets, who were playing without their main player, Spencer Dinwiddie. But here's the thing. Playing at Houston and getting a W, I think that sends a message. The Spurs are sending a message right now, but I think this would be like a mass email to the rest of the NBA saying
it's a statement game. It's a statement game,
yes. I think if they could do that and beat Houston on their turf, oh my goodness, Joe. And then follow that up with a win at Denver, a team that just clinched a playoff spot, that's battling for first place in the NBA's West. That's just awesome as well. I say that because the Spurs, more than likely, they're gonna have to start the playoffs on the road. Unless a miracle happens and they get that 4 seed, which they possibly still can, then great. But barring that, the chances are likely that they will start on the road, which means they'll have to start at a Denver, at a Golden State, or at a Thunder, or at Houston. One of those teams they're gonna have to go to. So why not send a message to two teams that they could possibly face in the first round, Denver or Houston, and say, you know what? It doesn't matter if we're on your house or you're in our house. We're going to beat you no matter what, Joe. I think they have to do that, Joe.
No, I agree with you. And, you know, one thing, too, is that fourth spot in the West, it's in striking distance. It's not that the Spurs can't get there. Look, right now, the Portland Trailblazers are without one of their better players, CJ McCollum. He's going to be out maybe for an extended period of time. And that could actually work in the Spurs' favor. You hate to have one of your better, you know, one of the better players on a team injured. But in this case, you know, if the Blazers kind of go on a three-game skid or a two-game skid, that could work in the Spurs' favor if the Spurs continue to play at this high level and get some wins, especially on the road. So the four spot, it's very obtainable. And I think that would work in the Spurs' favor of starting the postseason by having the home court advantage and not having to start that on the road, because that kind of puts them behind the ball. And you don't really want that for this team, because right now they play amazing when they're at home. If they were to start a playoff, let's say, series on the road, if they could split, that would be great. You know, 1-1 to start off the series. But if they go down 2-0, it's going to be tough for them to get these two wins here at home, you know, especially against any team that you're going to match up in the first round of the playoffs, Jeff. It's not going to be a gimme. Anybody other than Golden State, you like the Spurs' chances, but it's going to be a hard-fought series no matter what happens.
Yeah, no matter what. And look, again, I want to repeat this. I'm not trying to rain on the parade. I'm not. I just think that is the last puzzle piece in the regular season before the postseason starts, what the Spurs need to show to send a statement game, as you mentioned, Joe, to the rest of the NBA saying, look, we just beat Houston. We just beat a Denver team in their gym. Bring it. And I think that's what they have to do. Barring a major collapse by any of the top four teams, maybe the biggest collapse could come from Oklahoma City. Don't know. But we'll see how that happens. But they'll likely start on the road. And I think they need to have that kind of win away from the AT&T Center before the real season gets going. All right. So Joe and I, we're going to take our final break. We get back, we're going to put a wrap on this episode of Locked On Spurs. We are back, and I'm joined by Joe Garcia of Two Shots Podcast. Joe, speaking of Two Shots Podcast, what is going on over there in your neck of the woods?
Well, actually, I've been working with a lot of the other guys that are part of the network. So they've been putting out new episodes. Me, not so much, but I'm going to get started back on track this week. So you can check out the new episodes that we have coming out at twoshotssa.com. And you can also follow me on Twitter, on Facebook, and on Instagram. At Two Shots, and it's all spelled out, TWOSHOTS podcast, and I'll be happy to talk sports with you.
So I heard through the Twitter grapevine that there's video of you dancing in the streets in San Antonio.
Yeah, I was out on Spurs React with my buddy Chris Duhl and my other friend Guylan Jackson, and we were dancing after the Spurs' eighth win, and Chris has made it something that he does every time the Spurs win. We go dancing in the streets. It's just us having a good time. You just imagine it's us doing the worst dance moves you can possibly imagine.
I've seen it.
It's just for fun. It's a bit that we like doing.
Well, the Spurs will resume play tomorrow night as they host the Miami Heat in what is Dwayne Wade's last appearance in the Alamo City. Who knows what the Spurs will do, but I think he'll be waving bye to the crowd. Don't forget, it was the Spurs and the Heat that met a couple of times. One big loss for San Antonio, a painful one. We all know what happened, Ray Allen. And, of course, the Spurs followed that up the following year, taking out Miami again. So some history between Wade and the Spurs. Should be a fun game. Hopefully the Spurs don't drop their guard and, fall into the proverbial trap game. It is the, I believe, Joe, it is the last game of the four game homestand, right? Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. So hopefully the Spurs will hit the road on a positive note, beating Miami. But it should be a good game, so look forward to that. As for me, you can follow me on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone. You can email me at jeffgarcia74@gmail.com. Let me know what you think about your Spurs and their 9-game winning streak. Do you think that I'm wrong for saying the Spurs still need that big road win over a big team? Let me know. And do you agree with Joe and I and our takeaways from the Spurs win over the defending champs? But for Joe Garcia, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.